Welcome to the Rooted in Change podcast.
Hey everyone, my name is Jan, and you're listening to the Rooted in Change podcast. This show features European clean tech champions and their solutions to tackle the climate crisis. Today's guest is Florina, co-founder of Ecotermic. One often overlooked topic in sustainability and climate tech discussions is comfort. But it's an important one, though, because comfort is the main driver for technology adoption. So we'll dive into this field today. Flo will tell us about thermal comfort and why it doesn't have to cost the earth. Welcome, Flo.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure. Why don't you start by telling me your background? So who are you and how did you end up becoming the co-founder of Ecotermic?
That's an interesting story. I'm from Romania. I was raised and I was born and raised in Romania. I moved to London when I was 19 to become a pilot. I had a completely different dream at the time. And 1 year later, I realized that the cost associated with becoming a pilot was very high. And
It's one of those educations where you have to pay up front, right? And like then you're entitled to go to school.
It was a combined degree with like a flight school experience that I had to fund myself, which I wasn't. I mean, even now I'm not, I wouldn't be able to do that. And I decided to switch to a different course, and I studied aeronautical engineering for 3 years at City University of London. And after graduating, I sort of like jumped into the ecosystem of aviation. I studied engineering. It was aeronautical engineering, so I'm an engineer. But for some reason, I wasn't really keen on joining engineering companies such as Airbus, Boeing. I was more keen on joining an airline, which at the time was a bit difficult. I remember I started my first job and I got fired after 3 months, which was a bummer at the time, but I see it as a blessing in disguise. And then after a couple more months, I joined the big corporate. I was working in aviation, like IT aviation. It was a good experience in the beginning, but to be very honest, I think I shortly realized that I wasn't really fulfilled. And after spending almost 2 months in that big company, that was kind of like the dream, you know. I had my first burnout, actually. I was pretty young, and I remember I felt so lost. I was like, I sacrificed so much moving to a different country without family, without financial support, and I felt really stuck. And just before the pandemic hit, my job was made redundant again.
No.
But that was a good thing because I didn't like the job, and it felt just like a job, and I wanted a career. I always knew that I wanted a career. And I think even though it was very painful at the time, and of course, with the pandemic starting very, very soon after that, I had to relocate back to Romania after having lived on my own for like 8 years. Going back to living with your parents is not really easy.
And in the midst of the pandemic, right? Like there's better things that you can dream of.
But that was also the moment when I started working a lot on myself, on my mental game, on figuring life out, really, I think. And I started doing a bunch of online courses. I think it was a trend back then. And I was trying to open myself up to learning as much as possible.
Yeah, because people had time, right? Like you couldn't really see
Exactly.
anyone. You didn't know what was going on. So I think that was a big thing 5 years ago to spend your time on online courses.
And I'm grateful for it right now because it was the first time I started doing like my first online course. I remember it was something about entrepreneurship. It was by Wharton School at Penn University. And that was the moment when I was like, okay, I have no clue what am I going to do, but I think this is my sort of journey. I ended up taking another job in aviation after in like 20, at the beginning of 2021, which didn't last again for too long because I get fired from that again. The reason why I'm saying
I
this
see
is
a pattern.
yes, and I think the universe kept trying to tell me that
It's not
work.
for you.
Exactly. At the time, I didn't understand. I was like, why is nothing working out, you know? But eventually, a couple of weeks before I got fired from the other job, again, for no reason, I decided to switch industries. I was very fed up with aviation. I felt that it wasn't the right thing for me. And in 2 weeks, I decided to apply for a master's degree at Bartlett UCL. So I came across this really cool program that I thought it would be something I would really love. It was Smart Buildings and Digital Engineering at Bartlett UCL. And that's kind of like how I jumped into this new story, new phase of my life, which I think it was the best decision that I made at the time because 2 years later, after graduating, again, I wanted to go back to finding a job and, but nothing really.
Different industry, but sort of same pattern.
Exactly. And then one day I just applied for the Carbon 13 Accelerator because I was just like,
Such a great program.
yeah, and I was like, why not, you know? And that worked out. And the reason why I actually wanted to say and talk about my background is because certain things just don't work out because they are not meant for you. But what's meant for you, even if you think that, oh, it cannot work out because, it's the dream, it will actually work out. And
I
yeah.
think that's a really great takeaway to say, sort of, look, the universe didn't want you to be in aviation. And then, looking at your CV, shifting jobs regularly and, not really seeing the clear pattern until, Carbon 13 comes along and then this is it. And this is your journey. This is the passion that you've been searching for so long, maybe finally it clicks and makes sense.
Yes, and it clicked, and I met Graham, my co-founder and CEO of Ecothermic last year. So we founded Ecothermic literally 1 year ago. So we're very young, but it all happened very naturally, and I just showed up every day. It wasn't easy. Nothing worth having, nothing amazing in this life is easy, but it was effortless in a way because I felt that I
It
was
made
aligned with,
sense.
yeah, and I was aligned with what I was pursuing for the first time in my life. And this is why I'm grateful for the journey.
And what a journey it's been, I have to say. This is so interesting to sort of come from aviation, which is also often seen as so unsustainable, right? There's quite a bit of pressure on airlines to decarbonize, and then the routes to decarbonization are yet. I mean, some are pretty clear, but then it will take still some time as sustainable aviation fuels are just not available in the quantities that we would need them in order to replace the
Exactly.
fossil fuel-based ones. So that's quite a bit of pressure there. And then you making your way into, well, a different area and founding your own company there. Let's talk about Ecothermic then. What is, I mean, I mentioned thermal comfort. So what is the problem that you're tackling? And maybe just describe thermal comfort to me. What is that term?
Okay, I will start with the problem that we're tackling. Of course, there's a few additional ones, but the main problem we're aiming to solve is to reduce the energy consumption associated with heating, cooling, and ventilation in buildings. Buildings waste a lot of energy, and 40% of the energy consumed globally is associated with heating, cooling, and ventilating buildings, which is a lot. And 80% of the world's energy is still generated by fossil fuels, unfortunately. And that is a massive issue because with climate change, things will not get better if we're not doing something better,
Right.
differently. And additionally to this problem is the problem of, as you said, indoor thermal comfort. We spend 90% of our times indoors. If you're not at home, you're in an office. If you're not in an office, you're in a shopping center, right? Or at a friend's place. We spend so much time indoors.
That's quite frightening, to be honest. Like now I have to look at my own routines and be like, right, 90% is quite a bit. But you probably like seems like you're right.
It is, unfortunately. And I think I generally feel like we should spend more time outdoors, but I think the society has to make bigger changes for that to happen. I'm not getting into
Yeah,
that.
and our life is built around build infrastructure and built environments, right? Like as you'd rightfully said, look, if you're not at home, you're in an office, you're commuting to an office through sort of public availability infrastructure, you're going to the shopping mall to get groceries and whatnot, everything is indoors.
Yeah, it's sad, but that's the reality that we're currently living in. And thermal comfort is because I'm sure this is a challenge we all face when you spend time indoors and your energy levels are low, you feel drained and moody, and sometimes you don't even know exactly why, but our human body takes on all this external factors such as the temperature, the quality of the air, the air that we're breathing, and even, humidity to some extent. And yes, I think after doing my master, I realized how important is to actually have the right conditions when you're indoors in order to perform at your best capacity, regardless of, I don't know, you sitting at home and reading or working or, and yes, we are combining the problem of making, buildings more energy efficient with creating an environment for people where they feel more comfortable. And thermal comfort is basically that feeling of satisfaction and ease when your external, I mean, when your indoor environment is in harmony with your well-being,
Right.
which is something that I think we're becoming more aware nowadays.
Right. That's a really interesting one because before today's conversation, I didn't really know the term of thermal comfort, and it makes a whole lot of sense because it's also, I guess, then not just related to sort of well-being in general, but also if you're in an office setting, productivity, efficiency, and so
Exactly.
on. How do you achieve that then? Because you just explained sort of, it's the big problem of and buildings need to become more energy efficient, and we're also facing this whole thermal comfort part of the equation. So how do you combine those two? What's your secret sauce in order to provide a solution there?
I think we're not reinventing the wheel, because this is why we have air conditioning units. This is why we have mechanical ventilation with heat recovery, because people are
Right.
becoming more aware of, the importance of proper ventilation. I think there are solutions that have been around for a while out there. But I don't think they were designed with the idea of also reducing the energy consumption associated to all these systems. And I believe climate change, maybe, I don't know, 20, 30 years ago, even nowadays, there are people who don't necessarily believe in it for some reason.
Yeah,
But people are
unfortunately, yes.
becoming more aware, and I think with sky-high electricity bills that everyone is literally facing nowadays, with last year, 2024 was declared the warmest year on record before 2024. 2023 was declared
Yeah,
the
and
warmest.
probably, this spring has been the warmest ever recorded. So, with the pattern, the trend is clear.
Exactly. And it's like you want to do the right thing for the planet. You also want to afford to create comfort, and you want to have also comfort. And it's like, where, what, how are we going to fix this, you know? And this is why when we decided to found Ecothermic, we decided to go for a hardware solution in the built environment, because I believe software on its own, it can be good to an extent, but it's not enough. And I came across during my master's degree, I came across a few passive principles that have been used in architecture and the built environment for hundreds of years. And we had like an epiphany last year where we were like, okay, hold on, why can't we make these passive principles to update them to the 21st century, to 2024, 2025, and try to apply them, or better said, combine them with technology and make them more efficient? Because passive principles usually are, for example, some of them are just good for the winter. They are good to providing heating, but then during the summer, it provides overheating. So this is kind of like how the idea started.
Can you give an example for what passive principles would normally look like?
Yes, so basically our technology comes from something called a trombe wall in architecture. A trombe wall is a south-facing wall in a building that has sort of like a window on the outside. What that means is that it harnesses solar radiation, it absorbs it in form of thermal mass, and it releases that heat to the indoor environment at a later stage. So it's usually during the day, it absorbs the heat, it stores it, and at night, when you need heat during the winter, you have some sort of natural, let's say, heat. And the need for additional heat, like mechanical heat, would be reduced. But during the summer, the side effect is happening because you can get the indoor environment to overheat, which is something that you don't want. And it's all these trade-offs that have to be thought about. And usually it's in buildings that you can design from scratch in new build, but for already existing builds with the stock, still being around until like 2050, 80% of it. It's like, what do we do? How can we create better environments? And there's always sun out there. We cannot control it, but why can't we at least try to blend some sort of technology with these principles and make it work throughout the whole year? So yeah, this is basically how the idea started developing.
Can I also rephrase another part that you just said before to make sure I got everything? Because you sort of gave an example that with thermal comfort, there are sort of standalone solutions like air conditioning, right? Sort of air conditioning is a very tailored solution to, well, provide rooms with a lower temperature, or at least make you feel cooler and more relaxed. And I think what I'm hearing from you is you're going back to well-established, well-known principles, passive principles that have been around for quite some time, and you're combining that with tech and therefore integrate or sort of create a more holistic approach, so you don't just need to, a bunch of different things like air conditioning and so on and so on. But you bring one, well, holistic again, all-encompassing solution to the market that is more energy efficient, and it's a hardware-based solution because this is what will be needed in order to reduce buildings' energy demands. Did I get that right?
Yes, completely. And the thing about our technology is that it uses zero energy from the grid. So this is actually one of our USPs.
Right, that's a good selling point, yeah. Okay, got that. Then we can maybe just quickly touch upon, because you mentioned it's hardware, right? Most companies that, well, startup founders that I want to talk with or talk to, they always mention software because it's a lot cheaper to build and it's a lot faster to roll out. You said a few minutes ago, well, we want to do hardware, which is so complex. So, well, why? I mean, the why we touched upon because it's what's needed, I guess. But, still, how far have you come on this journey? When can we see it live and so on? So tell me more about the hardware journey in general.
Yes, I think when we decided to do hardware last year, it was, I'm a sucker for a good challenge. I love challenges. Everyone was saying
Well,
hardware.
clearly from your CV that we talked about in the beginning, right? Like, I mean, yeah, I guess so.
Yes, and I think that's a skill that I'm realizing how useful it is in on this journey,
Yeah, and the resilience. I mean, I said this jokingly, but I think the resilience that you build up and, train for, that comes in really handy now because the hardware route is such a challenging one.
It is, and I think I wasn't even aware. Like last year, I wasn't as aware as I am right now, of the challenges. But I wouldn't change anything. The built environment is physical, as much as we want to reduce carbon emissions associated, operational carbon emissions associated to the energy demand in buildings. Yes, we can adopt some sort of software that can help us to reduce some of those costs and maybe be smarter in the way that we're using all these systems. But for me, I think hardware, when and also my co-founder and CEO, he has experience with hardware solutions in a different industry, but it's still something that mattered to us
Right.
because he has that experience. And I think when we both decided to go for a hardware solution, we knew that it was going to be hard. But I also believe that in order we our mission is basically to reduce carbon emissions by 10 million tons when we're at scale, which is a lot.
Right.
And but the way we're approaching this is by reducing embodied carbon emissions related to the built environment and also operational carbon emissions. Embodied carbon emissions is something that it's very difficult to reduce in the built environment, as is a lot of people are running away from that. And there's also this premium cost associated with more sustainable products, unfortunately, at the moment. But I think I have a gut feeling that things will change, that people will actually see that investing in certain types of materials and systems that are more sustainable, they will basically see the value in doing it without, constantly comparing the cost of this solution against of a very carbon intensive solution, because I think we're spreading awareness. I think people are becoming more aware, and even if it's more challenging right now, I do believe in my heart and in my soul that people in a couple of years will make these choices without thinking too much about the cost. And also, I think in a couple of years, the cost will also get a bit lower, because if there is demand, the cost can, be a bit more affordable for people. But right now, maybe the demand is.
I think I would arrive at the same conclusion, but for different reasons. I think what we're seeing right now is that people are not willing to pay the green premium anymore. I think there was a time for that, but it ended, at least I think, if not last year, very hardly, or very, very much this year. But I think what's happening and what most people, or at least most consumers, don't see is, at least in Europe, we will experience rising CO2 emission prices very soon. So sort of everything that has, and buildings are under scrutiny that they have to deliver more on more climate impact in order to reach net zero goals. And I think you mentioned the high electricity prices before. I think we will continue to see high energy prices across Europe, but the major increase will come from everything that still runs on fossil fuels. So if you're still, in gas and oil, you will have to pay higher prices for that. And I think electricity-based or sustainability, green electricity-based and sustainable solutions will therefore become, they don't necessarily need to become cheaper, but they will become a lot more competitive, just because the difference to sort of what's unsustainable right now will become less so. And I think this is where my conclusion and my reasoning is different from yours, is I think people will still make a very much cost-conscious decision. But thankfully, I think this time plays in our favor, that the longer the way they wait, well, it will get more expensive, but sustainable solutions will also be the more natural choice. Not necessarily because they want to make this choice, but it's the right economic choice to do. I think we've seen similar cases with EVs, for example, where if you look at total cost of ownership and so on, out of a sudden, depending on where you live, obviously, fuel prices and electricity prices, but it can make more sense to buy an EV, although the upfront investment is higher. But if you look at over the total lifespan, might be already the smart investment, depending on obviously car size and so on and so on. So I think we will see similar trends also in the built environment.
And I think it's also this trend of going for electrification, heat pumps, and but I do believe that the industry is not capable of going full electric. Like there is this sort of need and want, which is good because we want to avoid using gas, and emissions from fossil fuels, which is bad, but at the same time, I do believe that we are not ready for going fully electric. If we were to switch everything and everyone going fully electric tomorrow, we wouldn't be capable of delivering what it would be chaos. Where and we see it with the energy the peak failures. When there's a lot of demand, there's also failures. And what we're trying to achieve with our solution is also to avoid these peak failures, or at least sort of even them out a bit and not have this sort of like very high and very low extremes.
Right, yeah, I agree. Then back to your hardware journey. So you mentioned that the company was founded a year ago.
Yes.
So developing hardware again takes time. So where are you on this journey? You mentioned that your co-founder has a previous hardware experience that obviously helps them. Where are you on this journey?
Yes. We are currently working on some CFD simulations. We have low fidelity simulations that I did a while ago. Graham, my co-founder, he built a prototype. The system works. We tested. As I said, we're not reinventing the wheel. We're just being a bit smarter about how we're doing this. And we are currently at TRL 3, moving to TRL 4. The idea is to hopefully get to TRL 5 by the end of this year, early next year. The plan is to have the simulations, to do some energy modeling work, and then eventually get a prototype by
Right.
the end of the year so that we can test it in the lab. Because next year we plan to start a pilot project, and we already have we've spoken to people, but it's a hardware solution. Everyone is like, okay, but we want to see it. We
Yes.
want to
Similar to
Yeah.
my questions, right? Like, when can I see, when I can, we can I touch it,
We
when
have
can
a
I experience it?
small scale proof of concept, and we hope to have it somewhere, like the full real device by the end of this year. Of course, it will evolve, it will transform, it will, but I'm very excited.
Yeah, rightfully so. That's an incredibly exciting journey that you're on. And you mentioned before that there's sort of the newly built buildings and then obviously the complete already existing portfolio of buildings. Where does your solution fit best? Is it for the existing ones? Is it for the newly built ones? What's your sweet spot? Or what will your sweet spot be?
The sweet spot, as we see it right here, right now, because that might change, you never know.
Yeah. And again, you know, that's part of the startup journey as well.
Exactly. It's new build residential buildings. So we're going for residential purely because I believe even though commercial might be easier in some ways, since thermal comfort is mainly felt within your home, within people's homes. I believe residential is the best way for us to start a pilot project, for example. And new builds, purely because new buildings, due to regulations, are built to a higher standard. Their performance is better. It's not ideal in all cases because it is what it is, but when compared to older buildings, it's much easier for us to test the performance of our device in a building that is healthy, that performs, overall has a good energy performance, because we know that our solution is not going to be able to provide all the heating and cooling that you need because it relies on solar radiation, which is something that we cannot control. So you might need additional systems. What we are aiming is that even if you need additional systems, you will use those systems only when needed and for smaller periods of time. So we believe at this point that residential new builds is our best way to start to launch our product into. But as I said,
We'll
that might
see.
be, I don't know.
And I guess that's, slightly too early for that to answer. But and then it's an important question still, I find. It's sort of the duality, right? You need to have an idea of who you're going to sell to, but that also might change once you sort of
We
have
want to consider
real.
retrofitting, as well, existing buildings. I think it's important, but I'm aware of the challenges, that, and I also know that our solution on its own would not have a great impact. It would need to be combined with other improvements to your building,
And then based on that, would it be the homeowners that would buy your solution and install it as part of, a number of things that they want to do in order to get their home more energy efficient and well, more comfortable in your case?
Yes, I think we are a business to business. This is kind of like our approach because it's obviously from a commercial point of view easier. So right now we're speaking with architecture firms and developers and owners, but not like landowners as opposed to actual
Individual
owners.
building owners.
Yes. Because we are very keen on collaborating with people who already see the importance of adopting sustainable practices within their projects. From the beginning, I sort of like made it clear with myself that I am not going to beg people to believe in sustainability or climate change. And I am very amazed by the amount of people who actually want to adopt more sustainable practices, and I believe that they will be our client because we're already in talks with them and we see that sort of interest. We had calls last week and this week with as I said, architecture firms that want to implement this sort of solutions, but they don't have enough options, you know. There's also the opportunity to maybe at right now we're in talks with a shop or with an online shop that is promoting, you know, sustainable products on their website, along with consultancy, you know, building more sustainable buildings. And I believe something out of all of this is going to once we have the product, you know, we will know exactly who our buyer is. At this point, there are a few options, and I would be happy to tick more boxes, to be honest. But we will see, you know, once we have the product, I think things will get much clearer. But yes, it's not individual homeowners to begin with, because
Gotcha.
it's hard, very hard.
That's very true. Then following on this, so you mentioned that a bit more than a year ago you started Ecothermic. What's been the most challenging part about this journey? Because we started this conversation sort of with your personal journey, right? And sort of the ups and downs, the hurdles that you overcame. And the life of an entrepreneur is not easier, I would say. So what's been, I guess, most surprising to you, or most challenging, but then I guess when overcoming that hurdle, also most rewarding? Maybe you can talk a bit about that.
I think I started falling in love with the uncertainty of everything.
Really?
Yes. I'm
That's
realizing.
very un-engineering, like, because
Yes,
engineers
I
want to find the answer, right? And sort of want to get to, I mean, it's a driver for what they do, but they don't, like, I would say the one from the outside, the majority of engineers doesn't love uncertainty. They want to know.
And this is why I think I'm a very unconventional engineer. Because I think one of the things that we were told from the beginning is that you have to be passionate, and I'm extremely passionate about what I'm doing, but I keep telling myself every day that I don't want to get attached to any outcomes because the beauty is in the moment and in the unknown and the things that I'm not even thinking about, you know? And I think that has been because we got our funding in October, but we still don't have the money. So it's like for the first time in my life, I'm not getting paid, but I feel so fulfilled and it's so rewarding because I am meeting so many people and working and collaborating with so many people who actually believe in what we're doing. And this is where my satisfaction comes from. I think it would be nice to have, I don't know, thousands of units sold next year, you know, but the fact that I'm already seeing people who believe in this idea and who believe in us, because at this point it's more like believing in us and the idea and what we're doing than the actual product. So I think, yeah, that is something that sort of like really, really changed because I used to be very much like planning and right now I'm just seeing the beauty and like even this call with you know, I didn't plan it and it happened and I'm grateful for it.
That's very true. Yeah, I think that's a very interesting answer to sort of. I think that what's really stuck with me is, you're not getting paid for the work that you put in at the moment, and yet it's. You didn't say it in exactly those words, but I'm putting those words into your mouth. The most fulfilling work that you ever had. It's like this is such a contrarian position to where you were when you described the work with the big corporate in the aviation industry, right?
Yeah.
Like, yes, you were getting paid, and everyone from the outside looked like a dream job, and you hated it. Like, it wasn't for you. And now it's sort of the opposite way, right? Like, yeah, the pay isn't there yet. It will be,
But I'm
but
not
you're
even
loving it.
stressed about it
Yeah,
anymore.
right? Which is so great. I think this is a wonderful position to be in, and I think you can really feel that you're so passionate about ecothermic and the journey that I think that makes up for a whole lot and will get you far. So maybe just to sort of end on the ecothermic journey before we turn one final time back to you. If you could paint the picture, or if you could dream, maybe that's the better way of phrasing, and look 3 to 5 years ahead, where are you with ecothermic? How far have you come? What has happened from where you are today?
I think there's a lot of things that as I said, I don't really make plans, but I have many objectives and goals
Right.
where the
So
company.
then let's talk about those.
Yes, I think my co-founder, he will speak more about, the commercial aspects of the business and how many units we should be selling by then and stuff. For me, I think the goal is to have a product that performs really, really, really well, that people will actually love and they will understand how it performs, but also how they can use it to improve, the quality of their lives, basically, without questioning this. It's like last year I was told this thing and it stuck with me, and I think this is what I want to change, this perception in people. Because when you buy a car, you invest a lot and you choose to have heated seats or all this like things, but you never think, oh, but what's the return on my investment? Because it's comfortable. You want it. It feels good. Who doesn't like comfort? It's like we all want to feel comfortable. And I think that's what I would like, to convince people with my product that it's worth the investment. And I'm pretty sure it's not going to be something, super extremely expensive. Like we already calculated the cost of it is something that I think a lot of people will be able to afford, and I would like people to invest because it's also helping the planet, which we should all care about, but also improving the quality of your life. And yes, I think I really want in the next 3 to 5 years to go out there somewhere and just, see a building or a few buildings having the ecothermic device installed on them. And that would be, the satisfaction of okay, I did the right thing. I mean, I'm not doing it alone. There's so many people helping me, but yeah, that's
I think what I really like about your approach is what I also mentioned in the intro, that sustainability discussions or climate tech discussions often come at the expense of less comfort, right? Like, I don't know. A good example is my colleague Helena took the train to a conference this week from Germany to Spain, and well, it's a long journey, and you can't really neglect that. And yeah, you can fly. And that's definitely more comfortable. And we at Lifesize have the sort of the policy that we take trains as much as we can wherever possible. And she really took it to the extreme, and made that
Very
possible.
big.
And it was also, I guess, a lot more expensive than flying, to be honest. So sort of on that note, double not ticking the box of, not more comfortable and not cheaper. And I think this is what I really like about your approach, that sustainability makes your life literally better, and it's an affordable solution, as we discussed, because the fossil fuel based ones will be more expensive. So I think that's really cool to see that sustainability doesn't have to be uncomfortable, but rather, you can invest into comfort and sustainability at the same time. That's really exciting.
Yes, and I believe as I said, it helps us as individuals, and it also helps the planet, which is kind of like a dream, right?
Yeah, right. The best of both worlds, yeah. I have a final question for you, which is, what keeps you going? Because, your journey, we started with that, we're going to end with that. It's probably an unusual one. It's not this straightforward, hey, I went to uni, I studied engineering, got my PhD, realized this technology was really cool, worked on that, founded a company, and now it's a $1 billion company. But rather one that just sort of had a few turns, which I personally find a lot more interesting because you so many good stories to tell there. And we talked about your resilience as well, and sort of not giving up, although being fired from various jobs and so on. But what is it that what is that notion that kept you going, that dream that kept you going, that willingness that kept you going? What is that in you?
I think it's the gratitude for having amazing people in my life, for being alive, for being here. I love life, you know. I'm a very curious person. I love learning, and I like to learn about different things, you know. I think when I was younger, I used to just zone in and focus on one thing, and I wasn't even doing that back then. I think I've always been this type of person who's very, very curious about the world we live in, about people, and I think connection for me is like my purpose in life, connecting with people, like I'm doing it with you now, connecting with my friends, connecting with the nature, connecting, you know, with music. It's all about, you know, being present, and I think this is why it's also making this journey easier, because it's not easy, but I'm loving the present moment, and I'm enjoying it. And I think the beauty is, everyone says the beauty is in the journey, and I agree with it. But I also think the journey is about the people we share this journey with. And I think the older I'm getting, the more I'm realizing that the journey is maybe 80, 90% about the people I'm sharing my journey with. Because as I said, I'm not doing this alone. Everything I am and everything that I'm doing, I am blessed to have amazing people in my life, and I also have a very, very healthy relationship with myself, because if I didn't have that, I think I would go crazy every day. But it's yeah, I think it's about finding gratitude for the present moment, and I think I used to believe that I being optimistic was something maybe not that great in certain situations, but I think
Yeah,
it
naive to a point,
Yeah,
right?
exactly. But I think it's much easier to be negative, you know? It's definitely easier. Way more difficult to be optimistic in situations where it's actually very bad, or, you know, it looks from the outside like it's bad. You really have to focus on finding those things that are positive to stay optimistic. But I think once you start training that, it becomes like your second nature. You know, it's part of who you are. And even if it sucks, even if things are, you know, not really aligned with I don't know, whatever expectations you had, or I think you're just, oh, okay, hold on. I have this amazing thing in my life, and we all have them, you know. And yeah, I am grateful for the good things, you know, for the positive ones, and trying to, you know, not focus on the ones that are not going well, because there are plenty of them, but it's a
Yes.
waste of energy and
And
time. So
that's part of the journey, right?
exactly.
That's a wonderful answer to end us on. I really loved this conversation. Such an energetic one. So thank you so much for your time, all the insights, and best of luck with Ecothermic. Fingers crossed that you'll realize your big dreams, big objectives, big goals. We'll be cheering for you. Maybe we'll check in later down the road to see how far you've come, and you can share us an update what has happened in the meantime. I hope, not the same revelations and upheavals as you experienced in the first part of your career. So maybe hopefully that part is now going smoother for you. Fingers crossed, at least. Thank you so much for today.
Thank you so much for having me. Really lovely meeting you and speaking with you.
Likewise.